Have you ever wondered what all the fuss is about meditation? Or perhaps you've tried it once before, but you got too distracted wondering if you left the stove on and you never made it a habit. Well, that was exactly what I thought in the past. And in this episode, I'm sharing with you the benefits of meditation and how to incorporate it into your busy lifestyle. You're listening to the Purpose Filter podcast, the show that shares actionable tips to help improve your daily quality of life. I'm your host, Dr. Louis Kathy Zhang, showing up each week with the perspective and compassion of a hospice doctor, plus the strategies, tools, and vision of a life coach. This week, we are diving into a topic that has been gaining popularity for good reason, meditation. And I know what you might be thinking, what can she possibly teach me about meditation? But hear me out. As someone who has struggled to incorporate a consistent meditation practice in my busy life, I want to share what I've learned and how it's transformed my life along the way, from reducing stress and anxiety to improving focus and productivity. The benefits of meditation are endless. And the best part, it's something everyone can learn and practice. So join me to learn how me and my distracted ADHD brain made meditation a daily part of my life and how you can do the same too. Take a listen. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another week here at the Purpose Filter podcast. So glad we are here together for however long this episode turns out to be. Who knows, right? So, as you can gather from the title and the show notes for this week, we are talking about meditation, okay? And I know you're like, what do you have to tell me about meditation? You're not a meditation expert or a yogi or any of that stuff. And you are right. I had those very same thoughts when I was like, I think it'd be cool to do an episode about this topic. And I know that I've personally had so many struggles trying to incorporate a meditation practice into my daily life. I'm just as busy as you all are, and I know how much it has transformed my life because of it, and so I wanted to share that with you. You know that I'm here to help improve the quality of your life, whether that's in hospice and palliative care or outside of it as a coach, as a podcaster, as just like a human being, right? Any way that we can just make our lives a little bit easier, a little bit sweeter, a little bit less overwhelming, busy, what have you, I'm down for it. And I want to share that with you. So with that said, we know that it's important to have a meditation or an altered state practice, right? If you've been around, if you've read anything recently in the past several years, it is gaining much, much more popularity with good reason. Meditation helps with so many things. It's been proven, it's been shown in the research. It reduces stress, right? It's been shown to actually reduce stress hormone, cortisol, in participants who've done meditation practices for 8 weeks in studies. They've shown lower rates of anxiety, depression, improved focus, productivity. They had a study in the Journal of Cognitive Enhancement that found that people who practiced mindfulness showed improved cognitive flexibility and attention control, and it also improves working memory capacity, right? There's improved emotional regulation. There's so many great things. It's sleep, all of these things that a lot of people have shown. It's out there. The research is there. Please go ahead and listen to Andrew Huberman's Huberman Lab podcast. Be forewarned, it's a 2.5-hour episode, but you can speed through it and check out the various chapters. It's really, really helpful. And if you're like me, you have struggled to meditate. If you don't really have a consistent meditation practice, and hey, look, consistent meditation practice could be once a week when you remember. And if you do it once a week, that's still consistent, okay? So hopefully give yourself a little bit of credit if you're doing it, you know, haphazardly. And we know that as with anything, this stuff can be learned, it can be practiced, it can be trained into a daily part of our lives. And so I've struggled in the past because my brain, probably like yours, runs a mile a minute, okay? I recently got diagnosed with ADHD several months ago. And so my brain will just go blah, 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 and bring up all these different things. And I'm like, I'm trying to meditate here, okay? And my brain will go, huh, I wonder what the difference between llamas and alpacas are, or some shit like that, you know? And I didn't really see a lot of value in it. I was like, okay, fine, cool. You just chill out for a few minutes and that's it. There was also, I know for a lot of people who are like, you know what, I'm not cut out for this stuff, or I'm not someone who meditates. And there's a lot of identity stuff around meditation and what we think meditation means in our head. And so for me, I've probably been regularly meditating for the past, I would say, 6, maybe 9 months. And certainly for the past 3 months, it has been much, much more consistent, where it's every other day, or if not, almost every day. I've made it a big priority for myself this year because I've started to see how beneficial it's been for my life, for my body, my emotions, my thoughts, all of this stuff. And so that's what I wanted to share with you in this episode today. And I know sometimes when people are like, oh, I've been meditating for 20, 30 years, it feels less relatable if you're a newbie, because you're like, okay, well, of course it works for you. You've been doing it for 20 years, but what about me? And so I wanted to share that experience with you, that for me, it's still somewhat fresh, somewhat new. And here's what I've realized and what works for me now. This may or may not work for you. It's just another frame of reference that you get to hear to see, like, oh, hey, this is what worked for one person. Maybe I can borrow some of these strategies, modalities, what have you, to try to make it a little bit easier for me to get these benefits. Because I really, truly do believe that everyone should have some sort of practice like this. And so for anyone who is considering doing a meditation practice, first thing I would say is to decide when and where you're going to do it. Now, for me, what works best after some trial and error is first thing in the morning, I sit on my couch, I put on some music or a guided meditation, which I'll talk about a little bit later, and I will just sit on my couch and get some morning sunlight. Now that it's a little warmer, we're heading into spring in the Northern Hemisphere, I get natural sunlight. But in the winter, I actually use one of those artificial light sources that you can get on Amazon or whatever, and I use that to get my morning sunlight to help with the circadian rhythm and all of that stuff. And I will meditate for anywhere from 5, 10, 15 minutes, depending on the time that I have and what I feel like I need. If you're just starting out, choose like 3 minutes, choose 5 minutes. There are 1,440 minutes of your day. You're telling me you cannot find 5 minutes to yourself to give back to yourself? You know, we always think that there's so much to do and I don't have the time and all this stuff. And if we can just take 5 little minutes for ourselves at the beginning of our day, just to ground ourselves, just to get things on track, trust me when I tell you, it makes a huge, huge difference. You don't really realize it until you actually start doing it regularly. It's not going to be like you do it once and the rest of your day is amazing and that's it. You know, it takes consistency. What also I started realizing was that it was really, really hard for me to do just the mindfulness stuff, where I just sit and I try to clear my brain and just be aware of my sensations, my body, my breathing, that sort of thing. I really had to rein in my thoughts, my emotions, all of that stuff. That can be really, really hard. So for a lot of people, they like guided meditation. So there's the Headspace app. That's really, really great. Some people will use Waking Up, I believe, as an app as well. I'm going to share two of my favorite guided meditations that I actually personally alternate between. One is the Tony Robbins priming exercise, which I'll share with you a YouTube link. And that involves a bunch of different things, like some cyclic hyperventilation at the beginning, gratitude, some future pacing, all of this stuff. That's really helpful. And another one that I do is from Vishen Lakhiani, who is the founder of Mind Valley. It's like online educational platform. They have a podcast, all of this stuff. And he does a 6-phase meditation, which again it feels a little bit more active than sitting there and trying to be mindful, both of which are really, really productive. So the six-phase meditation is basically like expanding your consciousness, your awareness, gratitude, forgiveness. Those are kind of the present tense stuff. And then the latter half of the six phases are future oriented, like seeing yourself in 3 years, seeing your day today go completely as you want and envisioning that. And then I think the last part is some sort of like intention or message or something like that, that you want to create for yourself. And for, I know a lot of other high achievers, people who have racing minds who feel like that mindfulness and just quote unquote sitting there is too idle, this may be another way for you to get into it, get into meditation. So I will link both of those in the show notes. Check those out, play around with them, see how you feel. So those two are really helpful because they are, again, more active, they're guided meditations, and you feel like you're kind of relaxed, but you're also moving towards something. So I highly recommend those if the other ones feel a little bit too laborious for you. And again, this is a muscle. The more you strengthen it, the better that you get. So then you can do a little bit of the quote unquote harder things, which for some people is just the mindfulness, sitting there, taking stock of what you're feeling, breathing. And I once did a 17-minute mindfulness meditation. And I tell you, oh my God, I was so freaking productive that day. I was on fire. Everything got done. And especially with my brain, the way that it thinks, the way that I get distracted and every little thing comes up, that was game changing for me. Now, I don't always have 17 minutes to do a mindfulness meditation, but man, it's a reminder for myself too. Like, hey, it worked. Do it again. So that's something for you to think about too, is the better that you get at this, the more benefits you get from it as well. And other benefits that I've noticed for myself, I'm way less reactive. I am so much less easily overwhelmed by external stimuli, by what people say, by how things went wrong. Some of you may have seen this. I got an email. I have a couple rental properties. I got an email one day from my property manager and it said, "Hello, unfortunately, the SWAT team broke most, if not all of the windows of your property during a raid or something like that. By the way, here's a work order for a bill because we need to replace all the windows." And it was thousands of dollars. And I was like, oh, God damn it. Right? And me, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, without all the tools that I have for emotional regulation, for mindfulness, for noticing and being aware and taking stock of how I feel and relate to the world, all of this stuff, me 3-5 years ago would have been like, oh my God, it would have taken over my entire day, my entire week. And now what I did was I was like, okay, well, this is really sucky, not pleasant, not what I wanted to start my day with, and I will find a way to deal with it. It didn't take over my day. It could have easily ruined my day. And I share that story with you because it is possible to not allow all of these things that show up in our day-to-day life that distract us, that make us overwhelmed, that make us feel frustrated. It's possible to just be like, okay, it is there. I will find a way to deal with it because of all of the tools that we're learning here. In addition, I'm so much more organized. I'm more productive when I do meditate. And I notice a difference when I don't. And you'll hear it from other people who do meditate, who do have some sort of altered state practice. It is also much easier to drop into it at a moment's notice. And so here are some other things that you can do in your daily life. You can take mindful breaks during the day. Just be like, you know what? Today, right now, I'm going to be intentional about it. I'm going to take a 5-minute break. I'm just going to breathe, or I'm going to go outside and do a walking meditation. Or you can practice active listening. If you're at work, you can just focus on what people are saying. You know how at work, when people are having meetings, we're just like, oh, I'm listening, but you're not actually listening. You're thinking about you know, again, llamas versus alpacas, or, you know, like which Ferrari model is actually the fastest and how does it compare to Lamborghinis, whatever it is, right? And if you continue doing this, if you continue incorporating these practices at work, at home, you will notice improved communication. You will notice improved collaboration, creativity, innovation, reduced burnout. Oh my God, that's such a huge one, right? Would we not all like to be a little bit less burnt out and overwhelmed? And if the past 17 minutes have not convinced you to try and start a meditation practice, hopefully these next few minutes will. Ray Dalio, founder, chief investment officer of Bridgewater Associates, probably arguably the most successful investor of all time, literally said, "Meditation more than anything in my life was the biggest ingredient of whatever success I've had." Tim Ferriss had a book where he interviewed like hundreds and hundreds of leaders, world-class athletes, entrepreneurs, CEOs, all this stuff. And he said upwards of 80% of them have some sort of meditation or altered state practice where they do this work day in, day out. Oprah Winfrey, you know this, huge meditation advocate. Arianna Huffington literally built an empire around Thrive and meditation and mindfulness. Kobe Bryant credited meditation practices with helping him stay focused and cope with the demands of being a professional athlete. Hugh Jackman, like, you know, Steve Jobs credits meditation for its creativity and innovation, all this stuff. It is a huge, huge benefit. Please consider. I invite you to, if not start one, if you have one already, ramp it up, find another level. There is always another level for all of us. Because if this is something that's free, accessible to us to do, that can improve the quality of our life so that we can show up for ourselves and show up for the people that we love and the people we want to care about, why not give it an old-fashioned college try, right? So that's a wrap for this week's episode of the podcast. I hope you found some valuable insights and inspiration to start or continue your meditation journey. Remember, it's never too late to start, and you don't need to be an expert to reap the benefits. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to leave a rating on Spotify, a review on Apple Podcasts, and share with your family and friends. And as always, thank you for tuning in and being part of this purpose-driven community. Take care of yourselves and take care of each other. See you next week.